Without culture and knowledge, we are unable to bring resolutions, solutions, and remedies to our social, economic, and family problems. Emotions and ranting without solutions never solves problems. Knowledge and rational, productive applications of knowledge resolves problems or solves social slash economic problems. Cultures that promote knowledge have a far better track record of successfully dealing with social, political, economic prerogatives than those that fail to respect or cultivate knowledge among their citizen members. As for us, the Aboriginals of North America, the negative record speaks for itself. Although some have traditionally presented positions that, in many ways, actually attempts to deny or divert the truth of our condition, reclaiming the divine, because they call this the Moorish Divine National Movement. Divine and national movement, right? A major and problematic social condition that spiritually, politically, and economically marks our Aboriginal families in North America is that women have been systematically and religiously suppressed, miseducated, and thus artificially displaced from her natural and rightful station and role in human society. This is under the heading Reclaiming the Divine Feminine Rights and Civilization. Therefore, women's problems and suppressions are absolutely the problems and suppressions of humanity itself. This anomaly is reflected worldwide. If we are honestly seeking and discussing resolutions, education and empowerment, etc., we logically need to first address these conditions among ourselves and in our politically usurped homeland, North America. Since women give natural birth to both male and females, logic follows that her station and role in human society is far more vital and impacting than the pseudo-limiting concepts that we have been or will ever be taught within the status quo, institutions controlled by those who colonized our land and burned ancient books and scripts. This includes those who have accepted their teachings without critical thinking. Our contemporary history and socialization shows and confirms that we as natural people have little to show for generations of sacrifice, work, and other unheralded contributions made by us to society as a whole. If women are going to solve any of these problems, she must first know herself and know that if she continues to bring children into the world without a proclamation of nationality in honor of their mothers and fathers anciently, then there will be suffering as a result of failure to do so. These are issues of heritage, consanguinity, pedigree, lineage, etc., that come down through her as hereditament, and people place their trust upon the ways of their foremothers and forefathers. It is impossible to say how much is it or what kind is it, for no one can understand it. It's not among many things that are in existence. It is much greater. Not that is actually greater, rather, as it is in itself, it is not part of the worlds or of time, for whatever is a part of a world was once produced by something else. Time was not allotted to it, since it receives nothing from anyone. That would be a loan. The one who exists first does not need anything from one who is later. On the contrary, the later one looks up to the first one in its light. Nope, still no Jabbo. No Jabberins. I'm not a part of the Jabbers Club. Nope, ain't gonna happen. So I'm starting back up now with learning more Chronicles. Still at it, y'all. Let's see. Let me get right back into where I left off. So it is impossible to say how much is it or what kind is it, for no one can understand it. It is among many things that are in existence. It is much greater. Not that it is actually greater. Rather, as it is in itself, it is not a part of the worlds or of time, for whatever is a part of a world was once produced by something else. Time was not allotted to it, since it receives nothing from anyone. That would be a loan. The one who exists first does not need anything from one who is later. On the contrary, the later one looks up to the first one in its light. For the perfect one is majestic, it is purely and immeasurably great. It is the world that gives us a world, the life that gives life, the blessed one that gives blessedness, the knowledge that gives knowledge, the good one that gives goodness, the mercy that gives mercy and redemption, the grace that gives grace. Not that it is actually like this. Rather, it gives immeasurable and incomprehensible light. What shall I tell you about it? Its eternal realm is imperishable. It is quiet. It is silent. It is at rest. And it is before everything. It is the head of all the worlds, and it sustains them through its goodness. Yet we would not know, we would not understand what is immeasurable, were it not for one who has come from the Father and has told us these things. For the perfect one beholds itself in the light surrounding it. This is the spring of the water of life that gives forth all the worlds of every kind. The perfect one gazes upon its image, sees in it the spring of the Spirit, and falls in love with the luminous water. This is the spring of pure luminous water, rounding the perfect one. Okay, now, its thought became active, and she who appeared in the presence of the Father in shining light came forth. She is the first power. She preceded everything, and came forth from the Father's mind as the forethought of all. Her light resembles the Father's light as the perfect power. She is the image of the perfect and invisible virgin spirit. She is the first power, the glory, Barbelo, the perfect glory among the worlds, the emerging glory. Again, this is I'm reading from page 4 of 8 pages. Moore's Heritage and History class, What Are Nationality Rights? Class number 4, Fallen Humanity. Glorified and praised the virgin spirit, for she had come forth through the spirit. She is the first thought, the image of the spirit. She became the universal womb, for she precedes everything. The common parent, the first humanity, the Holy Spirit, the triple male, the triple power, the androgynous one with three names, the eternal realm among the invisible beings, the first to come forth. Now let's look at what Sophia did, the womb. Now Sophia, who is the wisdom of afterthought and who represents an eternal realm, conceived of a thought. She had this idea herself, and the invisible spirit and foreknowledge also reflected upon it. She wanted to give birth to a being like herself without permission of the spirit. The spirit had not given approval. Without her lover and without his consideration. Her partner did not give his approval. She did not find anyone who agreed with her. She considered this matter without the spirit's permission or any knowledge of what she had decided. Nonetheless, she brought forth a child. And because of the unconquerable power within her, her thought was not idle though. Rather, something came out of her that was imperfect and different in appearance from her, for she had produced it without her lover. It did not look like its mother and had a different shape. When Sophia saw what her desire had produced, it changed into the figure of a snake with the face of a lion. Its eyes were like flashing bolts of lightning. She threw it away from her outside that realm so that none of the immortals would see it, for she had produced it ignorantly. She surrounded it with a bright cloud and put a throne in the middle of the cloud so that no one would see it except the Holy Spirit, who was called the Mother of the Living. She named her child Yaldabaoth, the first ruler who took great power from his mother. Then he left her and moved away from the realms where he was born. He was strong and created for himself other realms by means of a bright flame of fire that still exists. She made it with the mindlessness that is in him and produced his own authorities. The name of the first is Athoth, whom generations of human beings call. The second is Harmas, who is the jealous eye. The third is Kalila Oumbri. The fourth is Yabel. The fifth is Adonaios, who is called Sabaoth. The sixth is Cain, whom generations of human beings call the sun. The seventh is Abel. The eighth is Abrasim. The ninth is Yobel. The tenth is Armul Hayeiel. The seventh is Melchir Adonin. The twelfth is Belias, who is over the depths of the world. Yaldabaoth stationed seven kings, one from each empire of heaven, to reign over the seven heavens, and five to reign over the depths of hell. He shared his fire with them, but did not take away any of the power of the light that he had taken from his mother, for he is a being of ignorant darkness. When the light mixed with the darkness, it made the darkness brighter. When the darkness mixed with the light, it dimmed the light. The result was neither light nor darkness, but rather gloom. This gloomy ruler has three names. The first name is Yaldabaoth. The second is Sklas. The third is Samael. He is wicked because of the mindlessness that is in him, for he said to them, I am God, and there is no other God besides me. Since he did not know from where his own strength had come, the rulers created for themselves seven powers. The powers in turn created themselves six angels apiece until there were 365 angels. These are the names of the potentates and their corresponding physiques. The first is Athoth and has the face of a sheep. The second is Elalios and has the face of a donkey. The third is Astaphios and has the face of a hyena. The fourth is Yao and has the face of a snake with seven heads. The fifth is Sabaoth and has the face of a dragon. The sixth is Adonin and has the face of an ape. The seventh is Sabaoth and has the face of flaming fire. This explains the 7 days of the week. Yaldabaoth had many faces in addition to all these, so that he could show whatever face he wanted when he was among these angels. He shared his fire with thee, and lorded it over them because of the glorious power had formed his mother's light. That is why he called himself God and disregarded the realm for which he came. He united seven of his powers of thought with the authorities that were with him. When he spoke, it was done. He named each of his powers, beginning with the highest. The first power is goodness, and is with the first authority, the Thoth. The second power is forethought, and is with the second authority, the Loa Eos. The third power is divinity, and is with the third authority, Astaphaeos. The fourth power is lordship, and is the fourth authority, Yao. The fifth power is kingdom, and is with the fifth authority, Saboth. The third power, the sixth power, is jealousy, and is with the sixth authority, Adanin. The seventh power is understanding, and is with the seventh authority, Sabbataios. Man, wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. Of all people to be on Verdict Watch, I bring to you O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson, ladies and gentlemen. O.J. Simpson on Verdict Watch. Wow. Even he weighed in. Amazing. Again, speaking from the standpoint of it being a science as opposed to being a religion, and I admit that I'm butchering these names on here because a lot of this is not against my realm of understanding or not against my or what I've previously understood or anything like that. It's just this is a whole new learning process for me that I'm taking this all in, and it coincides with my being conditioned and my being programmed throughout generations. As I've said, that every day I am combating decades of multi-generational programming and conditioning that's been embedded. Also, too, is the calcification of the pineal gland. Never recognized how serious that was and how much fluoride impacts that. I have to go back to my research as far as that goes, because I was under the previous understanding that fluoride didn't affect anyone that was over the age of 14. That's from my prior training and experience in domestic water treatment. I held that position in the military for during my enlistment. Actually, that was a job that I actually put in for under guaranteed enlistment. There was a guaranteed contractual agreement that I would get that training and get that type of job. I essentially worked at a water treatment plant on base on the military installation. So throughout my life, I've been exposed to different things, and I've come to the understanding I wasn't in my proper place well before 3 years ago. So there you have that. just another aspect of my living life and being a learning more, coming to the acceptance of it, that I'm still learning, which is something we each need to do.